Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this one's been rattling around in my head all morning. Most people think about AI learning as one thing, retraining the model, update the weights, feed it new data, make it smarter, done. But there's a conversation happening in the AI agent community that completely reframes this. And it matters because if you're building systems that improve over time, coding assistants, autonomous workflows, persistent agents, you're not just updating a model, you're updating three different layers, three places where learning happens. The model itself, that's the obvious one, the weights, the neural network. Retraining this is expensive, takes time, requires data. It's the foundation, but it's also the slowest layer to change. Then there's the harness, that's the code and rules that run the agent, the scaffolding, the logic that wraps around the model and tells it what to do. Updating this costs less than retraining, but it still means rebuilding things. You're changing how the system operates. And then there's context, instructions, skills, memory, everything that lives outside the harness but shapes how the agent behaves. This is the interesting bit, because updating context costs almost nothing. You can deploy changes instantly. No retraining, no rebuilding, just new instructions and the system adapts. Think about that for a second. If you're running an AI coding agent and it keeps making the same mistakes, most teams would jump to retraining. That's money. That's time. That's infrastructure. But what if the problem isn't the model? What if it's just the instructions you're giving it, or the skills it has access to, or the way you're storing what it's learned? Understanding which layer needs updating. That's the difference between a system that plateaus and one that compounds over time. The takeaway: most improvement doesn't come from bigger models. It comes from better instructions and smarter memory management. That's where the velocity is. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Now, a practical consequence of all this. Yusuke Endo, Ruby committer, ran a benchmark that nobody was expecting. He took Claude Code and ran it across 13 different programming languages. Same task: building a simplified Git client. 600 times, just to see what it cost. And the results? Ruby, Python, and JavaScript came in at about 36 to 39 pence per run, not bad. But then TypeScript and Java, 1.4 to 2.6 times more expensive. And if you add type checkers to the dynamic languages, another 1.6 to 3.2 times slowdown on top of that. So here's what that means in practice. If you're building AI-powered systems, the language you choose isn't just about your own velocity, it's about your inference costs at scale. Every time your agent runs, every time it generates code, every time it processes a task, the language matters. Ruby beats Java in AI coding costs. That's not a headline I was expecting to write in 2025, but here we are. The implication is bigger than just cost, though. If dynamic languages are faster and cheaper for AI systems to work with, that changes what you build with, it changes what's practical, it changes the economics of automation. Something to chew on if you're making architecture decisions this year. Right, so completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me because this one actually matters. Someone did a security audit of 50 open source MCP servers. These are tools that run inside Claude Code and other AI environments, with full file system access, full environment access, basically carte blanche to your machine while you're coding. And the results are, honestly, a bit scary. 61% of the servers they scanned had missing input validation, 43% had command injection risks, 31% had path traversal vulnerabilities, and 27% had hard-coded credentials just sitting there. Now here's the thing. These aren't obscure tools. These are the integrations people are installing to make their AI coding assistants more powerful, connect to databases, access APIs, run scripts, and almost nobody is auditing them. The risk is real. You're giving these tools access to your environment, your secrets, your code base, and most of them haven't been through any kind of security review. I'm not saying don't use MCP servers, they're incredibly useful, but maybe check what you're installing first. Read the code if you can. Look for basic things like input validation. Check if credentials are hard-coded. Ask if the maintainer has thought about security at all, because right now, the ecosystem is moving fast and security is lagging behind. That's a gap that needs closing before something bad happens. The takeaway? If a tool has file system access and it's open source, audit it yourself or wait for someone else to. Don't just NPM install and hope. Have a think about what's running in your own setup right now. Okay, so this next one is properly interesting if you're paying attention to where AI agents are heading. A team just open sourced something called Hollows. It's a framework for building persistent multi-agent systems at web scale. Not just one agent doing one task. We're talking about ecosystems of agents, coordinating, persisting over time, with their own incentive structures. The architecture is five layers deep. Agent generation engines that create new agents on demand. Market-driven coordination so agents can negotiate with each other. endogenous value cycles, which basically means the system creates its own incentives to keep running. What stands out to me is the focus on long-term ecological persistence. Most agent frameworks are designed for short-lived tasks. You spin up an agent, it does something, it shuts down. Hollows is designed for agents that stick around, that learn, that accumulate context, that interact with other agents over weeks or months. This is the agentic web people keep talking about. Not just AI assistants, not just chatbots. We're talking about persistent entities with goals, coordination mechanisms, and the ability to evolve over time. Now, I wasn't sure about this at first because it sounds a bit sci-fi, but the more I think about it, the more it feels inevitable. If agents are going to be useful at scale, they need to persist, they need to coordinate, they need incentives that align with the systems they're operating in. Hollows is open source, the code is out there. If you're building multi-agent systems, worth a look. The big question for me is, who's responsible when these systems make decisions? If agents are negotiating with each other in markets we didn't explicitly design, who's accountable for the outcomes? Something to think about as this space evolves. Right, one more and then I'll let you go. There's a new benchmark called Expert Bench. 1,346 expert-level tasks across finance, healthcare, legal, and education. The kind of stuff that requires genuine expertise, not just pattern matching. And even the leading models? 66% success rate. That's it. Now that might sound bad, but actually I think it's useful, because it gives us a clear line. This is the expert gap. This is how far we still have to go before AI systems can genuinely replace expert judgment in high-stakes domains. What I like about Expert Bench is the evaluation method. They're not just checking if the answer is right. They're using something called Shot Judge, an LLM evaluation paradigm calibrated with expert examples. So it's measuring not just correctness, but depth of reasoning, appropriateness of approach, the kind of nuance that matters in expert work. The takeaway? AI is incredibly capable, but in domains where expertise matters, where stakes are high, where nuance is everything, we're not there yet. 66% is not good enough for a doctor, it's not good enough for a lawyer, it's not good enough for a financial advisor. And that's okay, because knowing where the gap is, that's how you close it. If you're building AI systems for high-stakes domains, this benchmark is worth looking at. It'll tell you where your system falls short, and that's the first step to making it better. So, stepping back from all of that, the thread I keep coming back to is this. Learning happens in layers. Improvement doesn't always mean retraining. Sometimes it's just better instructions, better context, better memory management, and the choices we make, the languages we use, the tools we install, the frameworks we build on, those choices compound. They affect costs. They affect security. They affect what's even possible. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. Where are you actually optimizing? And is it the right layer? That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.